May 6th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 25, looking at verses 31 through 46 with a message titled, Jesus Describes the Final Judgment.
Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 25, found on page 988. Matthew chapter 25, we conclude our study in the Olivet Discourse this morning, and then we move, in good timing, as we will be coming to Good Friday and then Resurrection. We'll be looking at the passion and death of Christ. And so this precedes that this morning, the final judgment, and so we will give our attention to verses 31 through 46 of Matthew 25. This is the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, today we come to, obviously, a very important conclusion in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has been working to. And Matthew is very intentional in this passage. This passage is set in a parallel to make the most dramatic contrast possible for us. Did you notice that? That's why the words are repeated, and that's why we have this parallel to understand a very important contrast that our Savior is giving to us. On the one hand, we have the most glorious announcement that could ever be made, given here in Matthew chapter 25, to people under the sun about eternal life. And on the other hand, we have the absolute most worst and terrifying statement ever made. I feel the weight of preaching this today. These are the things I think I don't have any sympathy for people who purposely avoid these texts. I understand the challenge of preaching these texts. I understand that in the modern church, these are not texts we want to approach or address. But I don't have any sympathy for not addressing it, because if this is indeed going to happen, what good is it to avoid it now? That does nothing for anyone. In that sense, it is absolutely important for us to take a head-on approach to this and ask very crucial questions so that we are not of those who are thrown into perdition on the last day. But I'm reminded in doing this that this is the very last teaching of our Lord on the moment here as he describes the final judgment before he goes to judgment himself. Right? That seems to me a very crucial connection. It's as if he is impressing upon us then the importance of taking serious the judgment, so that we are not of those who undergo it, but those who have a mediator and are spared from it. That seems to be the great intention of this. I don't know how you would come to a different conclusion. If you have come to him and you have believed in Christ, then this day absolutely throughout the scriptures is nothing to fear. That's the whole message. He does not want us to live in fear of this. If you have a mediator, you've been covered. You've been justified. You've been forgiven. He who believes in the Son has, said Jesus, John 5, passed from death to life and will not come into judgment. But if you don't have a mediator, this is the future for all who do not believe. And that just underscores the importance of the whole mission of the church. The whole reason that we preach, the whole reason that we do what we do, these are the most important issue. This is the most important issue of life, that we ensure that we are sheltered and covered in Christ and forgiven of him and know him. But he wants to show you today and capture who is delivered and who is not with those intentions in mind. And that's why I think you have to take the book of Matthew as a whole and appreciate that what we're looking at here is not giving us an exhaustive teaching on the final day, but it is the most clear and direct teaching of Jesus on the final judgment, but that there is indeed a specific theological intention to it. And if you miss that, then you will not understand what he is doing here. It has to fit the flow of the book. It has to fit the thesis of the book as we have been studying it. And there is surprising symbolism here, often very symbolic here. There are emphases here that are intentionally surprising and jolting. And it's not what we would expect. The issues that are raised are not what we would expect. Why so much emphasis on works? See, these are important questions. These are important things we have to wrestle through. And the reason for that initially is the purpose of Matthew himself in this gospel, of what he has been demonstrating. Each gospel is unique. Luke, more of a gospel to the Gentiles. Matthew, a very predominant gospel aimed at showing the Jews their Messiah. Mark, the power, the different theological purposes. But remember at the beginning, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Well, I want you, everyone, to look at verse 34. That's the issue that's raised. The king will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter. Come, enter this kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So whoever this is has exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what we have here is important then. The lens through which Matthew is describing the judgment day is the lens of the false religion of the scribes and the Pharisees and an external righteousness that did not constitute a genuine reborn heart. True religion, not fake. True religion. Well, what is true religion? What does that look like? That's what we've been looking at in the whole book of Matthew. And Jesus, and this is why people react to the hypocrisy. We get it. Lots of hypocrisy in the church. We're not after hypocrisy. We're all hypocrites to some degree. We all have hypocrisy in us to some degree. But we're after true religion from the heart. And Jesus captures this for us as we look at the final judgment, which has been the theological intention of Matthew. And here Jesus says, you don't want to mess around. This day is coming. A great separation is going to occur. So we want to ensure that we are those who identify with the blessed and not the cursed. Two important words in this section. After telling, verse 31, after telling three parables, Jesus now describes the final day and what it will be like. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels, all the myriads of angels, thousands times 10,000, when they come with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. It actually reads, he will sit on the throne of his glory. I think we should see that. The throne of his glory. This is awesome. It's taken from Daniel 7. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was a flaming fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and books were opened. This is the end of the world as we know it. His coming has happened when nobody expected it, as he has been saying. In the last chapter, when he appears, the sun was taken out, the moon was taken out, the stars were taken out, and it was described as the moment when all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Well, what we read in this picture of the final judgment, Jesus' description, and it's somewhat parabolic. It's not as full of parable language as the previous parables. Again, full of symbolism, but much more direct in his description. He has gathered together all the nations. And I don't see how you take that as being anything else than all the peoples of the earth. The scriptures maintain this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Here we are. The first thing that he does in the presentation of judgment is describe the great separation. Then he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. The great separation is him taking those who are the goats and placing them and setting them out, taking them out, as he has been describing, to his left hand. In verse 33, he will cause the sheep to stand on his right and the goats on his left. The right hand is a place of blessing. The right hand is a place of favor. The left hand is the place of curse. Now we begin with the words to the blessed. Then the king. Notice that he is the good shepherd here. There's a shifting of imagery. He is the shepherd. He's also the king. We'll say to those on his right, come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is awesome. What is about to be contrasted is as wonderful as it can be and as awful as it could be at the same time. And here we have the most amazing statement made in all Scripture. It is, just ponder that. That's the verse should be memorized. Come, you blessed. That harkens back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, as the character qualities of those, because he described who you are as the blessed by God. We've been looking at blessing in the Scriptures. It's not what you think. God blesses people. Let me express it. You are ultimately blessed and not cursed. Why? Because Galatians 3, Christ became the curse for you that you might become the blessed. You see, this is very, in a sense, legal and forensic. Well, that's what the language is. But I want you to notice how tender Christ speaks to his people. That's what I want to focus on for a minute. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom. Notice that. Your family. This is your Father. You've come to know him. This is who you pray to, your Father in heaven. You are adopted sons and daughters by grace. The Father, remember in John 16, Jesus said, I'm going to make it very clear to you when the Holy Spirit comes that the Father loves you. And that he gives you a kingdom. You didn't earn it. This is a gift to you. But that's not all. Inherit the kingdom in all of its fullness. The kingdom when it's fully grown. The kingdom in its final consummation glory. Inherit it. I can't describe it today. I can't do it. I just know Scripture says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things God's prepared for those who love him. And he prepared it. Did you see that? And that's just what he says here. That was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When was this kingdom prepared? From the beginning, he chose you for salvation. He prepared a kingdom for you. He gave you a kingdom. Can you come up with a more glorious statement? Now, most people are going to get worked up about the curse part whenever they read Matthew 25, but this is where our amazement should be, right? This is amazing. It's overwhelming. In one sentence, he just said, at the final judgment day, at the great tribunal, at the great Bema Seat judgment, he just said, enter forever into eternal life. The Father loves you. He has given his Son for you. You are given an inheritance because you are sons and daughters, all based on his work that was prepared for you since the foundation of the world. All in one statement is wrapped up: sovereign grace, sovereign election, and free gift. Chosen from the foundation of the world to receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1. The basis for this inheritance was nothing in you. And that means your own preparedness is not the basis or ground for even entering or any works. The basis or ground of this inheritance is that it was freely given to you on the good pleasure of your Father's will, fulfilled by the work of the Son, applied by the work of the Holy Spirit, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You are blessed. You are blessed. Now, what you find here is not one sin is mentioned, is it? Not one. There is a terrible teaching out there that God is going to raise and shame the sins of his people on that day and drag them out for everyone to see. Show me from the Bible. You are the Father's adopted children because of Christ. Jesus' teaching on the matter is clear and consistent. Revelation 20, when two books are opened, for those on the right, that's the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written there. And on the other hand, those on the left is the Book of Deeds. And yes, it records the sins of those who don't have a mediator. Now for the righteous, they've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. What we have here is an account at this, what Corinthians talks about, this Bema Seat judgment. What is so shocking is what's raised is him rewarding the works of the righteous. It's meant to be a shock. But it's not what you think. That's why I say it's not even so much about the works here, but about what those works demonstrate as to the character of those who have true religion, who are not phony. That's the point of Matthew. Look at verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is rendered for those, what is done in the body. Here you go. This is what's raised for those on the right. It's shocking on all levels. What stands out to you about it? It's nothing we're writing home about. Is it? You would think you'd get all that, Pastor Gordon. You preach so many years. Let's just say I make it to 40 years of preaching, halfway. You guys all think that's what should be raised, right? Pastor Gordon, you conquered kingdoms. No, I didn't. You were, go down the line here, on this day, you think the things he would raise. You were a great theologian. You wrote a load of books. This is the people we're starstruck over, right? You triumphed over nations. You led your thousands to Jesus. He raises what? Works nobody would know about except the one who received them. Oh, that's bad. That's intentional.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for tuning in to us here on Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.